It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Thursday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. It is August 4th of 2022. Only 29 days until Iowa State kicks off its 2022 football season at home against Southeast Missouri. That means 29 days for the Iowa Hawkeyes, 29 days for the UNI Panthers. And speaking of those Panthers, plenty of UNI football talk today on the show as it is your final installment of Camp Preview Week on Cole & Company. We have been hopping around talking both Iowa, Iowa State, UNI. We'll do that today, as I said, talking both college and high school football. On the high school side, making our way through our four Metro teams. Monday, we talked with Cedar Falls High School football coach Brad Remmert. On Tuesday, we talked with Waterloo Columbus football coach Brad Schmidt. Yesterday, first-year Waterloo East football coach DeCarlos Anderson. And today, as you might imagine, last but not least, Waterloo West High School football coach Lonnie Moore set to join the program in today's third segment. So look forward to that today on the show. However you are tuned in, know that I appreciate it very much, whether that's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure that you follow us on Facebook. Type in 1650 The Fan on the Zuckerberg machine. You'll find us. Then you just got to hammer that like button, and you'll be all set and ready to go. If you're on Twitter, follow us at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert, and make sure you bookmark the website. That's where you get the podcast of this show. It's where you get podcast of all the interviews from Camp Preview Week, broken apart by themselves, and you also get all sorts of local and statewide sports content. So bookmark it. You won't regret it. 1650thefan.com. If you want to join today's show with any questions or comments, dial me up, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. Or you could email the show. My email address, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. Questions, comments, maybe there's something or someone you would like to hear from or hear about on a future show, by all means, fire away. Just know I might read it on the show. Try to keep your profanities to a minimum. Yeah, I know it can be hard. All right, area sports news and scores coming up in just a few short moments. Light stack today. So got a couple things, as you might imagine, I want to talk about here at the top of the show. We'll also, I think time's going to permit, we're going to hear some audio from Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell and set to be the new starting quarterback, Hunter Decker. So look forward to that in the first segment here today. After we're done, we take, of course, the first time out, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this beautiful Thursday, looking into tomorrow and Saturday. We'll come back from that first break, and we will dig in on UNI football. And got some audio from Coach Mark Farley. And then, as you might imagine, be it that, you know, my other job is covering UNI men's basketball, UNI football, and other UNI athletics, that I've got my notes ready for this one. So we'll hear from Coach Farley, and I'll also share my thoughts as these Panthers head into the 2022 season in the next segment today to wrap up the college side of camp preview week. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get you Radio Iowa Sports, come back on the other side of that break, and as I mentioned, Lonnie Moore, Water the West High School football coach, will join the show. After we're done hearing from Coach Moore and about the 2022 Wahawk football team, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, and then come back for a final time and wrap up not only a Thursday edition of the show, but wrap up the show for the week. As you may have noticed, using some vacation days here in late July and August, as I like to call it affectionately, the silly season begins later this month. And it gets crazy busy with football, volleyball, everything else going on. Rolls right into basketball, and the next thing you know, you come up for air, and it's like April. So getting the vacation days used up while I can, and so Zach Gelb will be in for me tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour. Okay, so camp preview week coming to a close today, but it's the NFL season begins tonight. Albeit, of course, preseason, but the Hall of Fame game is tonight. And it is the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Las Vegas Raiders. And I was listening to Dan Patrick a little bit this morning, and the guys are all like, yeah, you know, I'm going to watch. I mean, I'll have it on. I will turn it on. It'll be a TV2 endeavor. I'll put the Cubs for better or worse. Call me a glutton for punishment. But I'll put the Cubs-Cardinals game on TV1 as long as it stays competitive. And TV2 will be the Hall of Fame game, because I don't even know if any starters will actually play in this game. Trevor Lawrence, I heard, was already a healthy scratch. So it's just one of those things where just to see football, NFL football, we just can't help ourselves, right? I think I speak for so many out there. It's like, wait a minute, like NFL football, and I'm pretty sure it's on NBC, and they do a great job of broadcasting games. You just can't not watch. I mean, it's not going to keep your attention. I wouldn't imagine it's going to keep too many people's attention, unless maybe you throw down a bet on it. And if that's the case, who am I to criticize you? But, I mean, what sort of sharp angle can you have on betting on the Hall of Fame game? But I heard of plenty of people betting the under, but the over-under is only 30.5 last I knew. Vegas knows. No doy. Vegas knows. But I think the biggest thing for me that sort of tangibly is related to this game, I saw this earlier today on Twitter. Forgive me, I don't have the reporter's name who had this in front of me. But Jaguars Raiders, right? A year ago at this time, Urban Meyer was still the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, news earlier today that Urban Meyer is going back to Fox to be on their Saturday morning college football show. And like, I understand that whether it's Fox or ESPN or now Amazon, NBC, whomever, like, any one of us are going to have personalities that are on these shows, these pregame shows, postgame shows, in the booth, whatever, that are not our cup of tea, right? I remember watching some of Urban when he was on this show last time, and he was okay. You know, I think I'm in the category many people are just like, dude, I'm just not much of a fan of you. Like, thanks for just not sucking, but I'm not sure what you really bring that maybe somebody else couldn't bring for probably less money. But at this point, I was so hopeful that the stench attached to Urban Meyer for the absolute blank show that he directed down in Jacksonville would prevent him from ever doing a show like this again, or at the very least, something that's relevant, you know, mainstream, or even if it wasn't mainstream, like, you know, pretty far off the beaten path, in which case I don't even know if his ego would allow him to do anything of the sort. And so put your business cap on, albeit who am I to act like I'm the, you know, smartest businessman in the room, but I got the microphone in front of me. So I got my business cap on. I don't see what Fox sees. Like, where's the return on investment with Urban Meyer? Who likes this guy? Other than that one co-ed at the bar last fall. And she probably didn't even like him. She probably just knew how much he was worth. And this guy is a scumbag, a certified scumbag. And I remember talking about it with Sean Keeler when it was all falling apart, our friend from the Denver Post, that this guy is, he's a dinosaur now, because he thrived in college football, in college athletics before the transfer portal, before all the student athlete empowerment of being a heavy-fisted dictator who used fear to run his program, albeit to a pretty high level of success. And then, be it the scumbag that he is, he tried to do the same thing with grown-ass men in the NFL. And we all just sat there and watched it unfold. And like I said, that blank show unfold down in Jacksonville. He was paid handsomely, and then he was paid handsomely to go away by the Jaguars' insanely rich owner, Shad Khan. And so, from the business perspective, Fox, what the hell? Like, how are you getting a return on an investment here? How do you go, yeah, you know what this show of ours needs? Because, you know, like, Matt Leinart's on it. He's all right. I'm blanking on the, is it Joe Klatt? Yeah, I think Joe Klatt. He's. I like Joe Klatt. But I don't need Urban Meyer. Who the hell needs to hear from Urban Meyer right now, or in the next 5 years, or ever again? I don't, and I think I speak for many of you out there. So, I don't know. Maybe Urban Meyer's got some pictures of somebody in the upper management of Fox Sports. Because I just don't know how the hell it makes sense. And so, you know, I would bounce back and forth between Fox or TV2. You'd have the Fox college pregame on. Then you'd have ESPN on TV1. Maybe you're unmuting one, muting the other. If Urban Meyer's on my screen, that television's going to be muted. I'll tell you that. So that's enough time on Herb. On or as he's so affectionately called on the Jim Rome show, Pervin Liar. So let's move on here. Area sports news and scores for a Thursday. Three UNI football players have earned spots on the Phil Steele FCS preseason All-American team. Cedar Falls Tiger, former Cedar Falls Tiger, Matthew Cook, named to the first team as place kicker, while linebacker Spencer Cuvalier was selected to the third team, and defensive back Benny Sapp earned fourth team honors. All right, Iowa football, their regular season finale against Nebraska on November 25th at Kinnick Stadium, officially sold out. That means all seven of Iowa's home games for this season now sold out. Last time the Hawks sold out all seven home games was back in 2011. It was another long night for the Waterloo Bucks. They lost at Eau Claire 19-2. The Express put the game out of reach early. They erupted for 8 runs in the first inning. It was the Bucks' 7th consecutive loss. They're now 5-19 in the second half. They're back at home tonight against La Crosse. Game time is 6:35. And finally, hey, we're just a week away from the second MLB Field of Dreams game in Dyersville. This year's game will have the Cubs taking on the Reds. It's the first game of a 3-game series between the two teams. However, the remainder of this series will be played in Cincy at Great American Ballpark. New this year to the Field of Dreams week, a minor league game on Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday, That game's going to feature the Cedar Rapids Colonels going up against the Quad City River Bandits. That's way cool. And that game is going to be televised on MLB Network. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. On the other side, Camp Preview Week. We talk UNI Panther football. That's next on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
And so it begins with the Hall of Fame game featuring the Jaguars and Raiders, and a special night for Josh McDaniels. After going 11-17 in two seasons with the Broncos, he has another opportunity as a head coach, and his first game with his new team, the Raiders, comes tonight in his hometown.
Like I said, it's a really cool place to grow up. It was a great place to be a young boy that loved football, and what a blessing that I have an opportunity to come back there and do it. You know, never would have dreamed that this would have happened.
The Steelers have reportedly come to terms with Deontay Johnson on a two-year extension with $28 million guaranteed, and former New Jersey Attorney General Peter C. Harvey has been chosen to hear the appeal of Deshaun Watson suspension. WNBA star Brittany Griner was sentenced to 9 years in a Russian prison after being found guilty of drug smuggling. Baseball this afternoon, Shohei Ohtani, home run number 23, but the Angels trail the A's by a score of 8-3 in the bottom half of the fourth. Finals from earlier today was Pittsburgh over Milwaukee by a score of 5-4. St. Louis topped the Cubs 4-3. Top of the sixth, the Dodgers in front of the Giants 4-2, but Clayton Kershaw has left with back soreness. And Colorado and San Diego right now, bottom of the fourth, it's the Rockies on top 2-0. I'm Rich.
Listen to Chicago Cubs baseball tonight on The Fan. Coverage of Cubs-Cardinals begins at 6:10.
Hello, Waterloo community. I'm Dr. Jared Smith, and I'm so pleased and excited to be starting my first year as superintendent of Waterloo Schools. I grew up in Waterloo, and I'm a very proud Waterloo West High grad, go Wahawks, and a very proud former administrator of Waterloo East, go Trojans. I gotta tell you, education is my profession and my passion. In addition to serving as an assistant principal at East High, I've also served as a principal in the Muscatine Community School District. Most recently, I had been the superintendent of the South Tama Community School District. Every chapter in the journey has been so rewarding, but I'm thrilled to be back home in Waterloo. We have an amazing community here. Just in the last few weeks, I've gotten to experience a thriving, vibrant Waterloo. I'm looking forward to serving you, our families, our business partners, our educators, and our students. Thank you for your part in making Waterloo a wonderful place to work, play, and learn.
Summer is here, and so are the savings at Tommy's Car Wash in Waterloo. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first month free. Tommy's Express Car Wash offers you an experience like no other. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, unlimited washes, skip the line, free mat washes, and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash, fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The NASCAR Cup Series racing at Michigan on Sunday, the Firekeepers Casino 400. Chase Elliott, who leads the series with four victories, is the betting favorite at plus 650. Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson at both plus 700. Denny Hamlin at plus 850. Ryan Blaney at plus 950. And Ross Chastain plus 1,000. With four races remaining before the start of the 10-race playoff, Elliott is the favorite to capture the NASCAR championship at plus 350. Ross Chastain plus 600. Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch are both at plus 800. Red hot winning picks at experts.winnersandwiners.com. Save 75% when you use the promo code ACTION75. Experts.winnersandwiners.com. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony Desiri, 1650 The Fan.
I'm Meteor- meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight with a low of 63. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 88 tomorrow. Bright sunshine. Mainly clear tomorrow night. Lows level off around 69. Mid-90s Saturday with a chance for scattered storms. Turning much cooler Sunday with highs in the mid-80s. Storms continue. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 83.
When you're at home, don't miss Cole and Company. Tell your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Thursday edition of the show continues. We're wrapping up camp preview week here on Cole and Company. And the Missouri Valley Football Conference held two separate media days earlier this week on Monday and Tuesday, and you and I, Coach Mark Farley, spoke about his Panthers on Tuesday. You and I is coming off of a 6-6 2021 season that included a first-round playoff loss at Eastern Washington. Now, headed into 2022, the Panthers feature a new co-offensive coordinator in Bodie Reeder, who, along with run game coordinator Ryan Clanton, has built an entirely new offense from the ground up, according to Farley. And among the topics that Coach addressed on Tuesday was how Reeder is fitting in and instituting that new offense.
Oh, it's been a fairly smooth transition. It has been a smooth transition because he's got a lot of energy. He brings a lot of ideas to the table that may be different than what we've done in the past. But it's the energy and the attitude that he brings into meetings, that he brings into practice, that you instill in guys and that's what you need. You also need a good plan. And his track record says that he's had a good plan in the places that he's been and how he's called games and executed games. And then I'd also say Ryan Clanton, along with him, have a lot of similar background in philosophies. And I think that really helped make that an easy transition for the two to bridge ideas and then to get prepared to get ready for a season.
Following up on that, I asked Coach Farley, what's the biggest positive with this new offense? And also, what's presenting the biggest challenges with it ahead of the new season?
It's probably the same answer to both, because it's a double-edged sword. The biggest compliment I can give him coming out of spring was the understanding of the offense of our players. They picked it up quickly. It's understandable. It's multiple, but yet simple, where they can go play and not a lot of thought to it, but yet it still has enough variations and volume to it that it's things that I like, because I do like volume, but at the same time, you have to have simplicity for execution. So there's a fine line to bridging that together. That's exactly what we need to work on, but that's exactly the thing that the style of offense that we'll do is doing right now. So the repetitions will be big, and then the follow that up is getting the combination of players on the field because of the transfers, because of the new coaches. It's like getting the right combination of players in rhythm and sync so they can come out of the gate in the first game and not have to build into it, because that's always a way out for a lot of people. They say, well, we got to learn the system. And to me, you got to learn football. You got to learn techniques, and you have to be intelligent enough to know the system.
Coach Farley was also asked, what led you to seek out Coach Bodie Reeder as your new co-offensive coordinator?
Points. That's the simplest question of the day. It's all about points. The game's changed. Game's evolved. We're probably recognized for our defense here over all the years of having a top 10 defense year in and year out. There's a point in time there. Your offense helps your defense, no question, a lot of times. But at the same time, the production of your offense, if you can get ahead by a couple possessions, it makes you a whole better defensive coach of how you call a game. So simplest way to say it is points. He's produced points in his past, and we believe that we'll produce points this year.
when it comes to returning starting quarterback Theo Day. Farley pointed out how his work with teammates this offseason, continuing to grow a rapport after being thrown into action not long after transferring late in the summer last year, is something that should prove key for that Panther offense this season.
It takes time to become comfortable in your environment, and probably more so to a quarterback than maybe other positions. And he needed to become comfortable in his environment, as guys had to be comfortable, had to become comfortable with him. That takes time. So he walked in the door last year and played a month later. Now he's had the summer to work out, and how he worked out and what he did at the extra things with the team, I think will make a difference for him and his production and his play, because, you know, comfort and confidence will definitely bring a more established player.
You heard Coach Farley mention it earlier, the number of new players and transfers on the team that have been added since really late last winter. He talked about how those new guys may be able to contribute this season.
Yeah, we you know, you got to, the portal goes both ways. So you got to make sure that, you know, the portal is going to stay. It's not going anywhere. So I think it's how you manage it and how you use it on your football team. So we went into the portal, found some guys that we believe can help us. They're going to have to come in here and compete for the positions. But at the same time, there's talent there. And there were some needs there as well because of some guys that we lost. So talent always doesn't get you on the field. But talent with discipline and talent that will become united with the way we do things will be very effective. So some of the names you mentioned could be very effective. But like you said, they just got here. So you're talking guys that have been here 2-3 months when other guys have been here 2-3 years. So we'll find that right marriage and group of players. But that's, as you said, feel it out. That's really what those first 2 weeks will be, is first get them the knowledge so they can show their talent, but then pick and choose your first, second, third unit, your top 15 guys per segment, and then go from there. But no sense trying to pick the top 15 until you can, that the player really understands what he's doing so he can exemplify his talent. So there's a learning curve there.
And finally, with all those newcomers on the UNI Panther football roster, new coordinators on each side of the ball, Coach Farley described what's going to be necessary for his team during this fall camp.
I'm looking for, they're going to have to grind, all right? And there's a lot to do in a short amount of time to do it. What I'm looking for is efficient use of time. I want to maximize our time. But ultimately, you want to play with the spirit that you need to play the game with to be great at it. So we have to find that balance to make that happen.
And to continue in our conversation here about the 2022 UNI Panther football team, just for me, I wrote down what I consider to be the five most important things. And of course, you know, it is what it is. There's other things that could along the way prove to become way more important than this. But as we sit here right now on August 4th, number one, and that's why I played so much audio as it related to it, you know, Bode Reeder and Ryan Clanton working together on building a new offense from the ground up, and attached to that is returning starting quarterback Theo Day. Now, I know that Coach Farley is not committed to a starter between Day and Matt Morrissey, going to give them the ability to show what they got the first week and a half, 2 weeks of camp, and then, you know, name a starter. He may not say it publicly, but there's going to be a number one quarterback that will, by all means, barring injury, knock on wood, be your week one starter for the Panthers. I'm of the impression that it's Theo Day's job to lose from everything that I know. And I think what's most important here is just how simple is this offense, while at the same time, as Coach Farley points out, multiple and dynamic. And I think he's had some very interesting and compelling things to say about what offense needs to be in this new era of college football with all the player movement, that it can't be a science experiment anymore. It can't take, you know, multiple seasons to grasp and master. You have to put a scheme together that is very quickly grasped and very quickly turns into high-level execution on the field. So I think that's number one. Number two is continuing to find production in the run game. Dom Williams has been good. He needs to be better than good this year. Vance McShane was good last year when he was healthy. He needs to continue to improve, and they got to find who the third running back is. Bradrick Shaw was great as a in that trio last year. He got banged up, missed some games, and it was very obvious the sort of negative impact that meant for the UNI offense. If you're watching closely last year, they got a young guy by the name of Amari Pesek Hickson, a transfer from Kansas with some size. They also got at least one other transfer who's going to figure into the mix. So they need those three running backs if last year was any sort of indication. But then again, who knows? It could be a little different with the new offense. At cornerback, new starters at cornerback. And if Mark Farley's defense is going to work, those guys not only have to be able to cover on an island, they have to be able to tackle on an island, playing that under two defense. And so it's going to be DeMarcus Governor, Stephon Black, who both have experience but not starting experience. And you're looking at potentially Edwin Dearman and a couple transfers in Miguel Edwards and Tecolvi Williams from Western Kentucky and Kansas, respectively. They've got depth there. They went out and got plenty of guys for their secondary in the transfer portal. And so by nature of that, you'd like to think that that's going to be ultra competitive. They will find talented guys that are executing the way they need to for Mark Farley's defense to continue to work at a high level. Fourth thing, defensive line depth. Something that Coach Farley mentioned coming out of spring is they got to fill Jared Brinkman and Tim Butcher. And Christian Boyd's right there. He needs to stay healthy, but when he's been healthy, he's been outstanding. Who's going to play next to Christian Boyd? Cordarius Bailey is in as a transfer from Iowa State. I don't know if he has the size. He played a lot of D-end at Iowa State. He might be able to play, slide into the interior in the MVFC. He seems like he'll be a player. Dylan Bowles, who was a transfer in last year from Stanford, he's back using the COVID year. That's a guy where maybe after a year in the system and grasping everything at a higher level, he'll be a factor that this upcoming season. But interior defensive line, I think that's something to keep an eye on. And fifth, but probably shouldn't be fifth, quite frankly, with how important the field position game is for this UNI Panther football team on a year-by-year basis, is punter. Nate Murphy graduated, gone. And they not only need to replace Nate Murphy, with respect to Nate, they need more out of that punting game this year. They ranked last in the conference last year in terms of net yardage in the punting game. And you just can't have that when you play a style of football like the Panthers have, where field position is just so important. It's really the game within the game for them. So there you have it. My five most important things for UNI football, and audio from Coach Farley on Camp Preview Week here on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up on the other side. We go from college to high school. Lonnie Moore, Waterloo West High School football coach, gives us the Wahawks camp preview. That's next, right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Fall camp is underway at Iowa, where the Hawkeyes enter the season as the defending Big Ten West Division champions. Safety Kayvon Merriweather is part of a defense that intercepted 25 passes a year ago. He says Iowa's success on defense begins in practice.
You know, we tell our scouts to give us the best look possible. We like, if y'all can score, I want you to score every single play possible to make sure that we're on top of our game every single day. So I think that's what leads us to being successful when it comes to Saturdays, because every single day we're preparing like it's a game day.
The Hawkeyes open at home September 3rd against South Dakota State. UNI linebacker Spencer Cuvalier has been named to the watch list for the Buck Buchanan Award. That's given annually to the top defensive player in FCS. The native of Cresco had his 2021 season cut short due to injury. And in baseball, after splitting a twin bill Wednesday, the Iowa Cubs continue a homestand tonight against Toledo. This is Radio Iowa.
Riding a bicycle is fun. Just remember, be one of the cool kids and follow safety rules when you ride. Always wear a helmet. Check your equipment before you hit the pavement. Ride with at least one hand on the handlebars at all times. Carry loose items in a backpack or bike rack. Use reflectors. Be on the lookout for cars, animals, people, or other road hazards. Just because you can see others, it doesn't mean they see you. Have fun and ride safe. Brought to you by the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
To buy your home, you became a house hunting ace. Learned about loans, scoured neighborhoods, and asked the right questions. Now you're queen of your castle. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll feel empowered to own your retirement like you own your home. go to aceyourretirement.org. Because when it comes to clearing financial hurdles, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What's your idea of fun? Free music or watching live newscasts? One-man bands or chainsaw art? Whatever it is, you'll find your fun at the Iowa State Fair, and it's all free with your gate admission. Music fans will want to catch Adam Doliak, Colt Ford and Frank Ray, or enjoy a set with Liliac, Resurrection, A Journey Tribute, and Jason Brown. Rock out with Slaughter, Wang Chung, and Quiet Riot, and spice things up with Latino Celebration. Hairball and the Nadas return for another great year of music at the fair. Fantastic Patrick and the Rubber Chicken Show will take the stage for kids. From chainsaw artists to sandscapes, Bandoloni to robocars, nothing compares to 11 days of smiles, thrills, music, and yums. August 11th through 21st at the Iowa State Fair. Start finding your fun today at iowastatefair.org.
The first day of school in the Cedar Falls School District is August 23rd. To register your returning student, log in to your PowerSchool parent portal. The link for the online registration will be at the bottom left side of your screen. If you've forgotten your username or password or have not yet set up a parent account, please email powerhelp@cfschools.org for assistance. If you have more than one child, you'll need to complete the registration for all children in your household, with the exception of PK, kindergarten, or new students to the district. After you have finished the registration process and submitted your information, there will be a link on the last page to the Tiger Web Store, which is the payment portal for school fees, lunches, and so on. If you have any questions or clarifications related to online registration, feel free to email powerhelp@cfschools.org or call 319-553-3004.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Cole and Company with Colbert on 1650 The Fan and the 1650 The Fan mobile app, and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Welcome back to a Thursday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan. Our camp preview week winding down. We've been checking in with all of our college and metro area high school football teams, and last but certainly not least this week on the prep side of things, Lonnie Moore, Waterloo West High School football coach, joins us now. Coach Moore, how you doing today?
Doing great. Having a good summer. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, glad to hear that. Thanks so much for joining the show today. Before we talk camp, I think it's important that we talk about summer workouts, and maybe it's become cliche at this point, but I think it's just as important as the coaches that say it. You know, you win games during the season by what you do during the summer. Certainly camp's important, but what can you tell us about what your team was able to accomplish during summer conditioning, summer weightlifting?
Yeah, I really believe this offseason was really good for us. This is one of our most productive off seasons in a while, and it's really all on the kids. And they've done a really good job, especially my our core guys, of getting in the weight room, attendance-wise, being where they need to be. They've done a really good job of that. And you can just tell just looking at them body-wise, and when they're out on the field, you know, faster, stronger, those things, you can just tell that they're putting the work in the off season, and understand that you got to work between August, I mean, from November to August to be good in that season time.
And when it comes to the off season, I think that if you're in your position as a high school football coach, you don't want to put too much on anyone's plate and have expectations too high, time demands too high. But at the same time, you know that all your competition, they're always refining and adjusting and trying to find an edge. What can you say, Lonnie, about what the offseason may have looked like when you first got to Waterloo West versus how it's changed and adapted over the years to what it looks like now?
You know, it's changed a lot. You know, definitely, you know, even before I became the head coach, I was assistant, where we made the weight room very, very important in the off season with the strength conditioning, to when I taken over, putting in a lot of time that we could have cut back on. So now we're really trying to be productive in what we do. You know, we don't need the kids here a lot to do what they need to still get done. So we try to find ways to make sure that they are still productive. Still productive in what they do, and we can do it at less time and those things. But we get the kids in and out, and they get what they need to get done, and they're responsible at that.
Waterloo West High School football coach Lonnie Moore, our guest right now on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company. Camp preview week winding down today. We finish up with our metro schools talking Wahawks football. And Lonnie, like so many other teams across the state, you graduated a very decorated senior class last year. What can you say in terms of the returnees that you're expecting a lot of in terms of leadership, both on and off the field?
Yeah, we're very young this year coming up in a lot of key positions. We played a lot of seniors last year, especially at the skill position-wise and also on the offensive line. But a lot of guys did get a chance to play, and it's just the way things happened last year with our schedule. Well, you know, we had some teams that we got a chance to put our second and third group in, and they got a chance to play at that level. So even though we will be new with a lot of guys, we haven't got a lot of playing time of starting. We do got some guys that's going to come in and at least play some varsity experience and got a chance to be under the varsity belt all last year. So we're really excited about that group.
In mentioning how young your team is, Lonnie, it makes me wonder how any high school football preseason camp is going to have that large segment of it that's about fundamentals, you know, the tackling, blocking technique section of it. But how does the other section of camp change? Probably more toward getting your team ready to play on Friday nights. And because your team is so young, how might that segment of camp be different than it was maybe a year or 2 years ago when you had more experienced players back?
Yeah, see, I've been around a while, so every year we kind of figure out what we got coming back and things that we think is important. So, for example, this year we really focused in on the fundamentals. You know, right now we're in the middle of camp, and I think that in a while we have not went through a whole camp where we have not had some kind of team all together, offensive, defense. But right now, this year's camp, we haven't got together at all as a team. We've been all together just individual positions, working individual drills, those type of things. But we know that that's going to be important for us this year. So not only are we young, we are inexperienced too, but we do have some seniors, but they didn't play as much last year. So we knew that coming in, and we knew how important it would be fundamentally that we need to make sure these guys are ready. Where in some other teams where we have with some experience, and we could have moved on a little bit. You know, we can start working on plays and start working, you know, how the fundamentals match with the plays. Where this year we haven't even touched those things yet, and we're just working on footwork, steps, you know, what those things look like and how you can transfer that into a game.
Lonnie, I would imagine, though, that, drilling fundamentals after fundamentals, that does your coaching staff at any point say, well, let's put something in the middle of this camp practice that breaks up, you know, with respect to fundamentals, the monotony of those drills? Or do you maybe purposely just do one right after the other to get an evaluation of the guys who are engaged no matter what sort of drill you're doing, whether it's team or fundamentals? How do you go about balancing that?
You know, again, we got to know how important those fundamentals are. And we let our guys know that, you know, fundamentals is what's going to make the difference in our team. It could get boring at times, but we do understand that we still got to make sure we're all on the same page. So, again, every year is different. I know this year is a little different than before because we're so young and inexperienced that we really haven't tried to break those up. Our kids know, what drills we're going to work on when they first get here and what things we're going to try to do to get better at. And we try to be very encouraging to them to let them know, say, hey, this is what we need to keep working at. And they understand, and they understand what we need to do to get, especially when you play at the 5A level. You're going to play some teams that are going to be very fundamentally sound, so we got to get there.
Lonnie, what can you say in terms of how you see this team's blueprint for winning in terms of how they'll go about their business on offense and defense to play their best football? What's that going to look like, perhaps in comparison contrast to some of your recent teams?
You know, we are trying something new a little bit. We're really trying to match up on what we got. So we're trying things a little different, both sides, you know, looking at the scheme of things that we haven't done in a while. You know, we probably haven't done it all. You know, last year we had a quarterback in Tyree Gardner who was a really good quarterback, not only throwing the ball, but athletically. He could pick a run. So we made sure that was part of our offensive scheme, where this year, you know, a little different, you know, and also with the offensive line, when we bring back three guys, actually two, but three guys who played a little bit, where we got a lot of other guys that can fill into those roles. We got to make sure they're right where they need to be. Defensively, you know, we might need to go a three front this year because, you know, we don't have the number of D liners we have had in the past. So we just got to fit to what scheme that we can help us, and that's what we're looking to do of doing that for our team.
You mentioned Tyree Gardner. What an outstanding career he put together, and certainly, you know, best of luck to him with his future endeavors playing college football. But what can you tell us, Lonnie, about the situation at quarterback headed into the season? Is it a competition, or what can you tell us?
It's a unique situation where we do have a returning quarterback in Alex Willis, who was our backup last year. He's definitely going to be our starter this year. He got a chance to play a lot again last year. But the unique part of it is our two backups this year, one is Josh Willis, which is Alex's twin brother. Crazy story is they both came in as freshmen and wanted to play quarterback, both of them. So we figured able to figure that out in between. But Alex won the position, so Josh went to receiver. Josh really never touched the ball again until this year. And we said, hey, we need somebody who can still do what we need them to do. And he was willing to do it. So he's been getting some reps at quarterback along with being one of our receivers. And then we got Wesley Evans, who's a junior for us, who started for us on our sophomore team last year. He's coming in, and he's made really good improvement this year. Very coachable young man. You know, really listens to what he gets needs to get done. So we got those three. Alex is going to probably, he's definitely going to be our starter. But we'll see what the backup role between Josh and Wesley would be. So those two are continuing to keep working.
You've mentioned, Lonnie, how you've got some returners with experience, maybe not necessarily starting experience, plenty of young guys. Are there maybe a couple positions that stick out in terms of, man, it's wide open there? I mean, it is pure competition, and we're going to have to use all of camp to see, you know, where the dust settles.
I'll be honest with you, that's probably a lot of positions. I think we bring back some guys on the D-line, with Drew Huntley, and I think Trayvon Higman and Xavier Teague and Keegan Nystrom, and that's probably our deepest. But everyone else is kind of up there where there's going to be some competition. You know, wide receiver Josh is probably our only key wide receiver coming back, Josh Willis. So we usually run a four wide receivers, so we got three new guys that look to come in at that position. Offensive line, we really got two guys that started for us with Evan Shavers and Anel Kuig. So there's three spots there that's open. So every position is the same. Linebacker, we don't bring anybody back at linebacker. So we're looking on defensive end of some guys. Andrew Klein and Brandon Baller both got time there last year, but they wasn't our starting linebackers. We had four or three seniors there last year. And I think, you know, defensive back is another one probably with like the D-line where we bring some experience back. So our defense brings some experience back, you know, D-backs with Kyle Elliott, Terrell Smith, and Jacob Moeller all coming back from just playing last year.
Couple more minutes here with Waterloo West High School football coach Lonnie Moore. Wahawks coming off a 4-5 record last year and looking for big things, more W's this season. And Lonnie, hearing you talk about the amount of competition that exists at different positions with your team, I would imagine that perhaps you can see that, you can feel that, you and your staff in camp, albeit it's early, you're doing a lot of fundamental work. But I would imagine that if there's ever a time you notice a higher level of engagement across the board with your roster, it would have to be in a camp like this when there's, you know, so much playing time, so many snaps potentially up for grabs.
Oh, definitely. And you know, I'd have even mentioned some of the young guys was trying to compete for those spots too. So it's very interesting. We had a chance to go to team camp about 2 weeks ago. We went down to Petla, Iowa. The Central, we really got down there and got to face some really good teams. You know, Dowling was down there, Johnston, Williamsburg. It was some really good competition down there where our guys got a chance to compete. But we also got a chance to put our eyes on some of our guys and see what they can do. So that competition is going to continue to keep going. Our guys understand what it's going to take to make ourselves a good team. But regardless of who starts, we've got to have depth. And we learned that through other seasons that we don't have the depth. It's going to hurt us. So we got to make sure not only the starters are ready to go, but we got to have some guys that's ready to step in anytime their number is called.
No doubt. I've been asking all the Metro football coaches this so far this week on the show, Lonnie, and that's, you know, so many times when I think back to being in high school, whether it be before preseason camp began or maybe when summer weightlifting and workouts began, your coach would have a new motto or a slogan or a creed that they would want to put in front of the team. However, there are some coaches that they don't necessarily do that. They get the team together before camp begins. Maybe they make a big speech and they just let it go from there. How would you describe yourself? Are you the type of coach that will put a motto in front of their team or a slogan, or are you more of, hey, just get the guys together, let me put my message out there, and let's go to work?
Yeah, we have a motto every year. You know, last year was sweat equity, and our kids really bought into that and understand what that mean. And this year's chop wood. We got it from, you know, we haven't started yet, but we're going to read a book called Chop Wood, Carry Water. And, you know, there's some good lessons in that book. And if you haven't read it, I do prefer you look at it a little bit. But
okay.
We're going to do that as a team. We're going to have some of our senior leaders go over some of the chapters with our team and those things. So Chop Wood is going to be our motto this year. We do have a program motto with every year, which is called Play 14. And what that means is there's only two teams in our section that plays 14 games with the countless scrimmage. So, and that's the two teams in the championship game. So we want to be one of those teams to play 14 games, mm-hmm. no matter how it takes. You don't have to go undefeated to be at the fourth championship game. You just got to know how to get there to the playoffs and then work your way from there. So that's our program motto. We want to play 14 games and be that one of those one, two teams that get a chance to do that.
Lonnie, what do I got to do to get an invite to the Waterloo West Football Book Club?
Hey, anytime. We'll let you know when we roll. We're going to start that next week, and our guys are going to be excited about it. You know, we're going to do the first time I've tried reading a book along with our motto, so we're going to try to do that and kind of emphasize, you know, the importance of team.
That's awesome. I'll hold you to it. Lonnie, always great to catch up with you, and looking forward to hearing from you and the other four Metro football coaches on Wednesday nights once the coaches huddle starts back up here on The Fan. Best of luck, best of health this season.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate what you guys do for here for the Cedar Valley and also Iowa football, so thank you, guys.
Thank you. It's our pleasure. Take care, Lonnie.
Thank you, and go Warhawks.
This is Above the Noise. Yesterday, the NFL announced that it would appeal disciplinary officer Sue Robinson's decision to suspend quarterback Deshaun Watson for 6 games. The commissioner, Roger Goodell, will now have the option to hear the appeal himself, which can't be good news for Watson or the Browns. It's been reported the league is still looking to hand down an indefinite suspension for Watson and a fine. That could lead to the NFLPA taking the league to federal court, extending this process even longer. But it's hard to say the NFL's efforts aren't justified. The league has taken a lot of heat for Watson's suspension. The easy way out would have been to uphold Robinson's decision, essentially pinning that suspension on her. Instead, the league decided to continue to seek further discipline. This is something that's long overdue. The league has a bad history of how they punish their players. But if this case is anything that we've come to expect, there's no certainty Roger Goodell and the NFL will even get this right. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. And now a message from Discover about customer service and common sense. When you have credit card questions, it's nice to have them answered by a real live person. You know, a human being who's actually understanding your issues and works to resolve them. Someone with a knack for helping others and has a pulse. In other words, what you don't need is a robot. And that's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. It's live customer service. Discover. Exceptionally common sense.
Summer is here. It's only June and we have record high temperatures. Ever wish your shorts or pants had air conditioning? You could cut or poke holes in your clothes, but that would take days. Lucky for you, LinkSol has you covered. LinkSol has taken its most technical fabric designed to be moisture wicking and quick drying and added precision holes cut from lasers to maximize airflow for added comfort. Get LinkSol's Boardwalker AC collection keeping you cool wherever you go at LinkSol.com.
Dayton B100 V-Belt, one of the many parts Granger carries. It's also the item that helped Rob carry the day. The job was on hold, deadline fast approaching, but a quick search on Granger.com and Rob found his part. And with same-day pickup at his local branch, he and his crew got the job done safely and on time. Get supplies and solutions for every industry with real-time product availability. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan, the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM, and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Welcome back for a final time on this Thursday and for the week. Taking some vacation tomorrow. We'll be back on Monday at 5. Enjoy Maximum Mornings tomorrow morning. Get your local sports fix with Mark Simpson between 6 and 8. And, hey, folks, go to 1650thefan.com if you want a chance to win our 2022 Great Golf Giveaway to Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. It's not just golf. You get a free night's stay at the resort, 4 water park passes, 4 zip line passes, and $50 in dining vouchers. As I mentioned, just visit 1650thefan.com. Can't miss the post there on the homepage. Click on that, enter your information in the online form, and then tune into Maximum Mornings with the aforementioned Mark Simpson on Monday, August 15th, to hear if you are the lucky winner. Good luck, and thanks for listening. All right, that's a wrap for me.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.